Dear friends, we're gathered today to participate in an event of New Brunswick Presbytery. The Presbytery is installing our good friend, former student, Ryan Irmer, as the teaching elder who's called to serve God's people in this particular community here at Slackwood Presbyterian Church. It's an exciting day. It's a bold step. It's an act of faith in God's guidance and presence with you. For Ryan and for his family, it marks the turning point after years of preparation. Preparation, much of it together on the seminary campus, to serve God's people as their teaching elder wherever Ryan was called. And now he is called, and he's actually doing it. We joyfully recognize today the many ways in which God has been working to bring all of us to this threshold and together to start something new. But the real center of our attention as we gather is not Ryan, it's not this congregation, it's not the presbytery, it's the Lord of the church, to whom Peter in our epistle text tells us we are to turn, to come, to the Lord. Our gathering is a responding. Jesus has drawn us to himself and thus to each other. We have repeatedly in our liturgy today already identified that God is the God who calls us, the God who comes to us as we come to God. This is what defines us as God's people. We are a called community. That's the word ecclesia means, a called community that has come and continues to come to Jesus Christ. Now, Peter focuses this coming to Christ in a way that I think is especially important as we install Ryan as your teaching elder. Peter writes, "Come to him, to that living stone, and like living stones, be yourselves built into a spiritual house." He describes Jesus as the living stone upon whom and by whom we are being built into a spiritual house. The picture of the living stone, the vital and active foundation upon which we are to be grounded, actually parallels the gospel text we've just heard. There, Jesus compares the person who comes to him and hears his words and does them to the wise person who builds his house upon a rock. Here again, we hear this strong focus upon Christ's rule and role in who we are and what we are to do as his people. But there is an important difference in the way in which these two texts deal with our coming to Christ. In Luke, we are admonished to build our house upon a rock. But Peter appeals to us to let yourselves as living stones be built into a spiritual house. The emphasis is upon Christ's purposes, what Christ is doing and wants to do with us and through us. Now, the ordination or installation of teaching elders, of ruling elders, of deacons, is an opportunity for us to confront basic claims about who we are and what we are for as congregation gatherings of followers of Jesus Christ. At just such a moment as this, we may experience how God's Spirit works through the scriptural word to engage us, to challenge us, to equip us for our purpose and our action as a community of believers. To let scripture shape us for that purpose and action, we need to ask the text what I call formation questions. How was Peter's letter forming the congregations to which this epistle was sent then, back in the first century? And how does it form us today as God's people here in Slackwood Church? We could ask that question about every verse in this epistle. You'll get great insight asking formative questions of every text. In the first chapter, for instance, powerful formation has been taking place. This letter is addressed to a cluster of real congregations with names, located on the southern shore of the Black Sea in Asia Minor, places like Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia and Asia and Bithynia. And we could add Lawrence Township to that list of congregations. These are congregations that are beginning to experience hostility and even persecution in their particular setting. They are marginal communities with no particular standing or influence in their context. But that is not the most important thing about them. Peter reminds them that they have been born anew to a living hope by the raising of Jesus Christ from the dead. They have been reassured that God has a great treasure stored up for them in heaven, an inheritance that is protected. They have been given the gift of faith in Christ to protect them as their journey takes them into new challenges and dangers. The outcome of their journey is certain. They will experience the salvation, the healing that God intends for all creation. And so, having been described in that way, they are called again to come to Christ, to the living stone. The formation of the community that God calls and forms and equips always centers in Christ. He is the one to whom we are to come. It is in response to his call, his invitation, that we are gathered as a congregation of his followers, as disciples being equipped for our own apostolic vocation. It is in response to him that we experience how God's Spirit forms us as living stones into spiritual houses, into a holy priesthood which offers God's spiritual sacrifices, which are accepted to God through Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's helpful to ask the biblical text what it is not saying. We want to ask formation text, but let's ask what it's not saying. When we hear spiritual house, for instance, we may be tempted to think of buildings of brick and mortar with stained glass windows and pews and pulpits. The building described by Peter, however, is not an example of sanctified architecture. There is no mention in the New Testament of a particular building called a church. This is rather a shock to every Presbyterian session I've ever met. No mention in the New Testament of a building called a church. Our text emphasizes that as a spiritual house, we are a gathering of people in whom God's Spirit dwells and is at work. That spiritual work happens where Christ is in charge. Christ is the one to whom we are coming and responding, whom we are obeying. And there are no special officers in Christ's spiritual household who are a different class of Christians. This epistle is addressed to the entire congregation. Everyone is included in the definition of living stones being built by Christ into a spiritual house. That's why I said that our act this evening is not primarily about Ryan or members of presbytery or officers of the church. We are not making Ryan into a priest whom we need in order to have a bridge built between God and us. All of us together constitute this holy priesthood of which Peter speaks. All of us together are enabled by God's Spirit at work in us to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. All of us together are invited to approach God in prayer and obedience, to encounter his presence in our midst in word and sacrament, and then as equipped witnesses to go out again into the world as evidence of God's love. So what is the role of the teaching elder in this process of formation? It's very clear, especially in our Reformed understanding of the church and how it works, that God gives the church sisters and brothers who are enabled to equip us to be built into such spiritual houses. Their task is to expound the biblical word so that all of us as living stones can be formed into such communities of God's truth and love. They are to challenge us with the claims of Christ as he summons us to be his witnesses, to be in the world as light and yeast and salt. They help us to hear in God's word the empowering guidance that shows us how to live our lives as communities and as individual witnesses in ways to use Paul's language that are worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The title the Pope often uses is an appropriate description of this role and responsibility of teaching elders. He speaks of himself as the servant of the servants of God. It's significant that Peter, at this key turning point in the epistle's message, does not say that we are to come to Christ in order to be reassured of our salvation, which is sure, in order to have our faith affirmed, which it is, in order to have our religious needs met, which they are. Of course, to be grounded in Christ means that the foundation on which we are being built is the gospel of God's work of healing and the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the certain hope which empowers us to lead our lives as obedient witnesses. Peter writes in the first chapter, as the outcome of your faith, you obtain the salvation of your souls. We are not called as the church to gather in enclaves of savedness, but we are gathered to be equipped, to be sent for God's purposes in our particular mission fields, day by day and week by week. That is what Peter means when he says that our coming to Christ should result in our being built into a spiritual house to serve God in the world as a holy priesthood. It is God's desire that the nations hear good news. And for that purpose, there should be witnesses who are evidence in the world that this good news is for everyone. Rooted in the faith and practice of Israel, the description of our purpose as holy priesthood means that all of us together serve God by all of us together bringing to him our prayers and our worship, bringing the needs of the world, the struggles, the disobedience, the longings of the world. And then emerging from that encounter with God, we enter into this world as his sent witnesses, and we bring the world God's healing word, evidence of God's love at work. The church is gathered for God's purposes in the world. And what we do when we are gathered is always, in some way, to contribute to our equipping to be Christ's witnesses when we are scattered in the world. Your teaching elder does not do your work for you, but he or she partners with you so that every one of the living stones is equipped for the calling that defines every Christian. We are witnesses of Christ for the healing of the world. This understanding of our shared calling is summarized powerfully in verses 9 and 10 of chapter 2, one of the most emphatic definitions of the church in the entire Bible. You, plural you. In Atlanta, we learn to say y'all. We get all of us in. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, that you may declare the wonderful deeds of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were no people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Every noun in this text refers to major themes in the large and wonderful story of God's people, going back to Abraham and climaxing in Jesus. All of the biblical witness contributes to our understanding of who we are and what our vocation is. It's a journey of discovery to unpack what it means that we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. And your teaching elder has the particular responsibility to guide you in that unpacking. Here again, Scripture forms us for our calling as Christ witnesses. As we submit ourselves to this word, we are being built into a spiritual house and a holy priesthood as we are equipped for witness. The definitions of God's people in verse 9 are then drawn together in this major purpose statement, that you, plural you, all of you, that you may declare the wonderful deeds of him who's called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. It's actually clearer to read, so that you may declare the wonderful deeds of him who's called you out of darkness. Or in the rendering of the Common English Bible that just recently appeared, it's very nicely put, you have become this people so that you may speak of the wonderful acts of the one who has called you out of darkness into his amazing light. It's in the service of this witness that God's Spirit gathers Christians into communities in particular places, in Slackwood Church. It's in the service of this witness that God's Spirit provides equippers of the saints, teaching elders, like Ryan, for the work of service. It's in the service of this witness that those called to eldership submit to the disciplines of preparation for ordained ministry. We've shared a lot of those disciplines together. And now, we joyfully confess that the Slackwood congregation has discerned in Ryan the teaching elder who is to continue your equipping for your vocation as Christ's witnesses. In response to the amazing things that God has done and is now going to do, we proceed formally to install Ryan as your teaching elder, and we rejoice. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.